We look together in God's Word from the book of Jude. As I mentioned earlier, it's the book right before the book of Revelation, the second to last book, only a couple of pages long. There's no chapters, just the book. Jude, and we'll read verses 1 through 11. People of God, hear the word of our Lord, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day, as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain, have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. Well, people of God, this word of God certainly will emphasize the utter and final destruction of false teachers, but in so doing, it connects a false teaching and the destruction of the false teachers to the demonic and the destruction of the demonic. And so ties together false teachers and the demonic, not only in their final end, but in their present goals. And so this morning we look together, seeking to discern the dangers of demons, to understand the power of the demonic. We do that in light of our common confession in the Belgic Confession on the creation of all things on page 74, which in the context of this declaration of creation speaks in the confession about the demonic in a way that the confession doesn't do anywhere else. So it isn't like it introduces the topic here and then expands it fuller in some other part, but here is the fullest explanation of the confession we have concerning the demonic. And so in Article 12 on page 74, we'll look and begin with that second column where we read, "He also created the angels good to be his messengers and to serve his elect, some of whom are fallen from that excellency in which God created them into everlasting perdition. And the others have by the grace of God remained steadfast and continued in their first state. The devils and evil spirits are so depraved that they are enemies of God and every good thing. To the utmost of their power, as murderers watching to ruin the church and every member thereof, and by their wicked stratagems to destroy all, and are therefore, by their own wickedness, adjudged to eternal damnation, daily expecting their horrible torments. Therefore, we reject and abhor the error of the Sadducees, who deny the existence of spirits and angels, and also of the Manichees, who assert that the devils have their origin of themselves, and that they are wicked of their own nature without having been corrupted. Well, people of God, the error of the Sadducees and the Manichaeans are clearly present today as well. There's a whole realm of our society that would deny the existence of God or any spirit. And there are others who think there's an eternal balance of good and evil. This is the yin and the yang. This is what is behind Eastern religions, that the good couldn't exist without evil, and there's been this eternal existence of good and evil. And so the ancient heresies are clearly present before us. Indeed, there is, even in this world's estimation and judgment, although falsely, there is now a greater concern for and a recognition that Satanism is alive and well and growing in our culture, as the truth of Christianity recedes to the background. Paganism, Satanism seems to be flourishing in many corners. However, this would fail to understand the reality that Satan has been alive and well since the very foundation of creation. He hasn't suddenly come to a higher spot of power. He has always been that roaring lion who seeks to devour. But there are all kinds of declarations concerning Satan and Satanism. There are all kinds of declarations concerning this spirit realm. A recent news article said that the Roman Catholic Church is running short on exorcists to study at the college of how to... They have a study center on how to conquer Satan. How to do that. Holy water is mentioned as one of the key ingredients to stopping Satan. Well, people of God, crucifixes and holy water have absolutely no power against Satan. We can be sure of that. There's absolutely no place in Scripture that calls on the Church of Jesus Christ to rise up, bless water, and use it to conquer Satan. Satan would be more than happy to have people believe that he can be controlled by such nonsense. No, people of God, we need to know and discern the dangers of the demonic, and then know and rejoice in the way in which Satan and his host are conquered by God in Christ in us. First of all, we need to know that angels and demons are created creatures, just like all else. There is nothing eternal in them at all. Psalm 148, verse 2, declares the creation of the spiritual realm with these words: praise him, all his angels, praise him, all his host. And then in verse 5, let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. Now, that's specifically talking, of course, about those angels that are as the Belgic Confession would say, elect, or the Scripture, elect angels, angels who haven't fallen. But the fact is that all angels, fallen and not fallen, were created by God. Well, we see that and we've noted that and we've heard that declared over and over again in these past weeks as we've looked at creation in the context of the Belgic Confession, wherein summarized in Colossians 1, verse 16, for by him, this is by Jesus Christ, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. All things were created by him, through him, and for him. And then there was a rebellion on the part of man, on the part of, first of all, many fallen angels, called evil spirits by God's word. Because they are created, they are limited by time and space. Not in the very same way that we are limited, but an angel nor a demon is everywhere present. By implication, in many points of Scripture, that can be seen. When the Word of God will declare in Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, that ultimate end of the devil, in Revelation 20, verse 10, and the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where beast and false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Well, people of God, if it's true that Satan is cast into the lake of fire at the end of time, that means that he's not in heaven at the same time. He has a limited place. He has a limited, and he's limited by time. And so the Word of God very clearly points out those limits, whereas God is everywhere present. And so, people of God, we want to stand firm in the fact that they are creatures, created creatures like us, yet with great power, and they have fallen. Numerous angels have fallen. The Word of God declares it in verse 6 of Jude. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode. What was the proper domain of angels? The proper domain was God. The proper domain was serving God. The proper domain was to serve God and do what he commanded, particularly in relationship to ultimately his elect people. And there was a group of angels who left their proper domain. Now, the Word of God doesn't give us a specific declaration concerning this, but it very clearly declares that they did fall. And from Scripture, we know that they fell before the fall of man. And so they fell somewhere between the initial point of creation, and in the beginning, God created all things, and God created all things through the Son. And so it had to be at from the time of the very beginning of creation to the time of that day in which Satan tempted Adam and Eve, God created angels and they fell in that time period somewhere. The Word of God doesn't say which day they were created on. Simply declares they were created. And we know they had to have been created and they had to have fallen before the temptation given to Adam. Now they fell, and they have been under God's judgment and curse ever since. We might not think so much of the demons being under the curse of God in the present, but in the same way, people of God, that this world represents the place where God's curse is manifested against the sin of man. Do not think for a moment that the darkness in which angels live is a darkness that is simply a darkness of their moral rebellion. It is also a darkness of the judgment of God. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, which is a parallel passage to our own in Jude 6, says it this way, for if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. And Jude 6 says it this way, the angels who did not keep their proper domain but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Now, the word reserved makes it look like God is reserving the demons for judgment until the last day, but that's not what this text is saying. The word reserved is actually describing something that's happening in the present. And I think better translated the way that that the ESV has, and that is that instead of using the word reserved, it has the word kept. They are kept in chains. So presently, at this moment in time, the demonic is in chains of darkness. Darkness being in Scripture something that can mean a whole number of different things. Darkness can have a number of different meanings. But we know that these angels are reserved for judgment. These fallen angels, who are clearly led by Satan, but they are fallen. But in their fall, they are also restricted. They do not have unlimited power. They are bound by the judgment of God and by the boundaries of God. In Revelation 20, verses 1 through 3, we read these words. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, that great serpent of old, who was the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, and cast him to the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal on him, so that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years were finished. But after these things he must be released for a short while. People of God, we are confident that 1,000 years is today, and Satan is bound. It's the same thing that Jude 6 says, when it says that Satan is kept in chains, he is kept under darkness for judgment on the great day. And so that word, reserved, is really a word that means kept. Darkness not meaning here the dark of night. A darkness not referring to any kind of color. It's certainly darkness can have reference to moral evil. But they are kept in darkness. Darkness can be a symbol of moral evil, but it's not only a symbol of moral evil. And certainly the darkness of the judgment of God, there God gives them over, and there's even more moral evil of darkness. So darkness is a big word in Scripture that has a variety of meanings. But in this particular place, darkness is an illustration, a symbol of the judgment of God against the rebellion of the demonic. And they are presently under judgment. That does not mean that they are presently powerless. Our world is under judgment. Wicked man is under judgment. But that doesn't mean that wicked man living in darkness, living in moral rebellion to God, is powerless. And so the same pattern we see with the demonic and the devil. But he is clearly under darkness. We ought not to think that the world under the judgment of God or the demonic under the judgment of God is experiencing true joy, happiness, and a great life, because they are not. Any sense that Satan is now having a great time is wrong. All creatures who live in rebellion to God, though outwardly they may manifest for a moment joy, a false joy, are living under the judgment and darkness of God. And unless they're removed from that to light, they will forever experience that. Because our text says that they are enchained, they are chained, they're reserved. He has kept them in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. So this is what they are in the present, but there will even be a greater judgment on the great day, the second coming of Jesus Christ. Verse 13 talks about that judgment against false teachers this way. Raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And so in verse 13, which is again pointing to the final judgment, it goes from darkness to the blackness of darkness. It's like the darker darkness. Although there really can't be anything if there's an absence of all light, then I guess it's darkness. But here it's this blackness of darkness to point out that final judgment is going to be even more severe and it's going to be eternal. And that's true for all who live in rebellion to God. And Satan knows this as well. And so in the present, he lives in rebellion to God, under the judgment of God, under the pain of that judgment of God. He is not a billionaire living in luxury. He is a rebel living in drudgery, under the judgment of God. And Satan is the leader. There is a specific leader of this demonic host, and we see his name. Now, oftentimes Satan will be named, and in that name, there will be the assumption that all his demons are behind him. And so his very name becomes not a symbol, but Satan represents and is the leader of all the others that are there. Calvin said this about the satanic hosts. We are therefore taught by these examples that we have to wage war against an infinite number of enemies, lest despising their fewness, we should be too remiss to give battle. Or thinking we are sometimes afforded some respite, we should yield to idleness. But the frequent mention of Satan or the devil in the singular denotes the empire of wickedness opposed to the kingdom of righteousness. So we ought not to ever think, well, Satan is limited to time and space and he can't be everywhere at once, so I really don't have to worry about him. His hosts are infinite. They are not literally infinite, but they are of such great number that we can be assured that Satan is, and the power of the demonic is everywhere at work in this world. Because their current activity is like their activity from the very beginning of time. They are set out to destroy all that God has created. They are set out particularly to destroy the church of Jesus Christ. And they think they can do that by blinding and deceiving the world of the truth of God and His Word. In 1 John 5, chapter 19, 1 John 5, verse 19, we read this. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. The whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. In that sense, the power of the wicked one, as the devil is called the god of this age. And so the devil is against God and everything that is of God. He's against God's elect. Even as he would try to come as an angel of light in 2 Corinthians 11:14, he's described, he will transform himself into an angel of light. He will look like he's really good. But Jesus declares the very heart of the demonic, the heart of Satan, in John chapter 8, verse 44 and following. John chapter 8, verse 44. As Jesus is confronting the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, and they think they have it all together. They think that they know the Old Testament. They think they have the truth. And Jesus says, "You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of the father you want to do. Of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a lie and the father of it." People of God, there are so many people convinced of so many lies, of so many things, but one of the things they're convinced of, and one of the lies, and many of the lies they hold to, are lies about Satan himself. He would have people believe that he's more powerful than he is, and he would have other people believe that he has no power. But Satan is the father of all lies. So why would anyone want to believe anything about him? That's why it's so, because some people may say, well, holy water really makes a difference in some people's lives. Well, Satan would love people to believe that lie. Why wouldn't he? Some people believe that there are demonic soldiers that are called up, and they specifically fight the Satan and his host. Well, Satan would like you to believe that. Why wouldn't he? He would like you to, anything you believe that's a lie, he would want you to believe it. He is the father of lies. So when people say to you, "I know what Satan knows, and I know what he thinks, and I know because I have understood Satan." Maybe Satan told me about what he is. Well, if Satan tells anybody about anything about Satan, you can be sure it's a lie. He is the father of lies. It is in the Word of God that we come to understand the nature of the demonic and the power of the demonic. Satan is a liar, and all he does is lie. So the world is influenced and somehow thinks that their thoughts are good. Some people believe that the lies that they have received special knowledge from interplanetary aliens. Well, Satan would be happy that people believe such nonsense. The lies that people that come from their own imagination, lives they believe come from good angels, lives they believe come from God, but is contrary to the Word of God. People believe lies that supposedly come from science. They believe lies that come from great, quote, spiritual leaders like Buddha or Muhammad. All lies come from Satan. He is involved with every lie there is. I suspect, people of God, that we are thinking of the power of Satan in such a way that we oftentimes limit what is satanic. Everything is satanic that is a lie. Everything is connected to Satan that is a lie that is contrary to God's word. Everything is. And I would like you to know that you cannot defeat Satan. You cannot defeat him. But God can defeat Satan, and has, and does, and will. People of God, our only victory is the victory that comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 2, 13 through 15. "And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him," that is with Christ, "having forgiven all your trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it." Over Satan on the cross. Our victory over Satan is the cross of Christ. And if we ever think it is in anything else, and it's not the physical cross, it is the death of Christ on the cross that is disarmed. And it has disarmed the power of Satan because God brings us out of darkness, out of lies, into the truth. Our victory is only found through Christ. Christ on the cross crushed Satan's head. The promise of the gospel in Genesis 3. Christ, through the cross, has cast Satan down in Revelation chapter 12. Christ, through the cross, has chained Satan, Revelation chapter 20. And he is kept until the great day of judgment, when all his lies will be exposed. And we conquer the devil and his host in Christ and through Christ, not with the nonsense of some kind of physical interaction through holy water or a crucifix or anything else. People of God, I believe that one of the clearest places where we can understand the work of the devil is in Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 20. Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 20. Because here it is set before us what armor we need in order to destroy Satan. This is the armor of God. And we don't see any holy relics declared to be the armor we need to destroy the fiery darts of the devil. Beginning with verse 12. Or verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Because this is how the devil works. And so the right armor fits his work of lie, his lies, his deception. His power is in the lie. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And we would say, how can we stand? Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, girded your waist with truth. There it is, truth. That's how we stand against the devil. Absolutely, he's the father of lies. And truth. And where do you know where truth is? In the Word of God. That's the truth. We stand girded with truth. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, not a righteousness of the law, but a righteousness which is by faith in Jesus Christ. Because Satan would have you believe that you are righteous. But we need the righteousness of Christ. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. A gospel of peace. A gospel that declares there can be peace between man and God. Peace between man and man. Peace between black and white. Peace between Jew and Gentile. A gospel of peace, because where Satan is, there is unrest and there is destruction. Every time you see unrest, there is the work of Satan. Problem is, we don't think of it as this work of Satan is far, it affects everything. It's the gospel of peace that is needed in a world of darkness. Above all, taking the shield of faith by which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. Faith in God. Faith in the gospel of peace. Faith in the truth of the belt. Faith in Christ and his provision. with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation, saved by grace. That's how we defeat Satan. Knowing that we are saved by grace and the sword of Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, the utterance may be given to me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. The proclamation of the gospel in the context of the armor of God is how Satan is defeated. That's how he's defeated. Over and over again. What are you trusting to defeat Satan? Do you know it's a major battle? Do not trust in the relics of this world, but trust in Christ who gives you all the armor to be able to withstand the evil one and in the day to stand in the glories of the gospel. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for the victory over Satan. Thank you for shining on us the wonders and the glories of Christ, bringing us out of darkness into light. And oh, Heavenly Father, may we know that this world is so entrenched in demonic deception that they cannot see. That, oh Lord, may the truth of the glories of Christ shine bright from the proclamation of the gospel and the life of your people, and so continue to bring many out of darkness into light. Thank you for destroying Satan in Christ and giving us the victory. For greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. This we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.